This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Some write checks and others use credit cards. But if you're spinning your wheels looking for a tax deduction, think about donating your working but unwanted car, motorcycle, boat, or truck to KPFT. You'll qualify for a tax deduction and at the same time take care of that unfinished business. To make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. We'll arrange for your vehicle to be picked up and the title transferred. Then we'll send you a receipt for your tax deduction. It's that simple to support the station you've come to rely on for alternative music, news, and public affairs programming. Again, for more information or to make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. You're tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, radio for people.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
And this is Jennifer and A.
And Glenn Holt.
Brian Levinka.
And we're a little bit thin this evening, but we're here.
You're too kind.
No, you haven't lost a pound.
Yeah, it's only because I'm not standing sideways.
It's the holiday season. We're all, everybody has different things. It's a distraction.
Yes, it is.
But and, of course, some people have no one, no families and no friends, and they are just in the blues.
No,
that's
what
we're
going
to talk about that tonight.
No, that's great, because then you don't have to have all the hassle of family and all that kind of stuff.
That was a great segue, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Sally
what a
Huffer
nice,
is.
Nice intro into our
That other voice in there, that's Sally Huffer. Hi, Sally.
Hi, thank
you. Sally's here to talk with us this evening, and talk with Jennifer, and I guess she'll talk to the rest of us. I mean, it is a holiday.
Sally, will
be
you
kind.
Talk to me, too?
I would love to talk with you, but I can't see you.
Well, I'm over on the other side of the wall.
Just imagine him right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Sally's going to talk with us about the holiday season, let's put it that way. That leaves it open enough and broad enough.
That's good enough.
Sally's from the Montrose Counseling Center. And then on this way out, during news wrap, Hungary's constitutional court invalidates the country's registered partnerships law because it's open to heterosexual as well as same-gender couples.
Oh, my God.
That's weird. Okay. So, many progressives in the U.S., especially in the GLBT community, are angry at Barack Obama. Gee, I wonder why.
What happened?
Yeah, we'll find out. And also, Canadian-born essayist David Rakoff, a really funny guy, he's just not joking, like his sometime collaborator David Sedaris, but with a worldview through a very different queer filter.
Yeah,
but
don't we have something else special tonight?
No, nothing else going on. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, yes.
In the second hour.
That's right. In the second hour. We have Queer Music Heritage.
Yes, J.D.
Yes.
Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he got for us tonight?
Some queer music. It's his Christmas special, part one.
Oh, part one?
Part one.
Part two?
I don't know. I guess you'll have to stay tuned to find out. Just don't ever change the dial from 90.1.
Oh, yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to miss the, you know, part two coming up.
Absolutely.
And
or as we say in Spanish, parte dos.
Okay. So, I'm going to have to...
you're going to have to?
Keep talking, because I'm going to have to reach around and find a piece of music to play while I go and find this way out.
Well, why don't you do that? Why don't Sally and I
okay,
do an interview?
Too, yeah.
I mean, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Hey,
go ahead and do an interview since she's sitting
and
there.
And everything like that. Oh, yeah. Good. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Well, wait. I just want to wish a speedy recovery to Jack, because he's not here tonight.
That's right. We didn't even talk about Jack not feeling well tonight. That's why we're a little thin. One less body here.
Well, that's 80 pounds at least less.
He probably liked that, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I would enjoy being 80 pounds less. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're here in the studio with Sally Heffer from the Montrose Counseling Center. And one of the things, and I was talking about that a moment ago, sort of a segue into this, is that at this time of year, there's a lot of things going on. A lot of happy, joyful things, possibly family and friends and parties and the like. But on the other side of that, there's a certain segment of our society that doesn't have those things and finds themselves locked in cynicism and resignation, which spirals down into depression. And this is commonly called the holiday blues.
Yeah, bah humbug.
And that has nothing to do with music. And the Montrose Counseling Center is sensitive to that, right?
And you've got
something going on. Now tell me.
Well, every year, you know, we do realize that there are a lot of people, because we're being bombarded by all of these images, like you said, you know, images of our family, images of parties and revelry and fun with friends. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of us, you know, start to build in expectations. Why doesn't my life match all of the commercials that I see? And how come, you know, the sounds of Christmas carols doesn't fill me with joy? And, you know, and there's so many different layers within our community why this could be a difficult time. Certainly there are some people who have a difficult time making it through the holidays. And most of those people kind of know every year when they're coming on. I have a family member who every year would start sabotaging the holidays right around, you know, Thanksgiving and you know, kind of undermining everything. And then when the holidays were over, it was, see, nobody loves me. And it, you know, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think some of us who, you know, if we know that we're planning that this might be a difficult time. For example, sharing with you that I lost my mom in 2007. Now, certainly we went through last Christmas. You kind of build up your armor, you know, to make it through that day. But sometimes when you least expect it, it's the day after Christmas that you get blindsided because you weren't prepared for that moment of, you know, emotional, boy, I really miss this person. We certainly lost a lot of people over the years to HIV and AIDS, and so it's difficult if you've lost a loved one, especially in the last year, or let's say you've lost somebody around the holiday season. And so this might be a time of year where you start bringing up those memories, and so it can be very, very difficult.
Well, it can also, for our community especially, we may have been totally rejected by our families.
And let's not forget, it's, for many people, a very religious holiday, and there's a lot of rejection there, too.
Oh, absolutely. And because of that rejection, we find ourselves, that's the way I started, a lot of cynicism and resignation that, oh, God, another holiday. And it's more of surviving it than really enjoying it.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why we look to what we commonly refer to as our family of choice. If our families aren't as accepting as we'd like them to be, well, you know, let's say, you know, you still have an obligation that you still need to go visit your family. Well, you can put a time limit on that. You don't have to just show up and stay until, you know, the last, you know, eggnog has been, you know, drank and all of that stuff. But that's
not recommended anytime.
Yeah. Well, and also, if you know that the holiday season, that you have a tendency to find yourself, you know, getting swept away. Because, I mean, this year in particular, when we're looking at, you know, the stress of the holiday season, the stress of our finances at this time of year, especially this year, you know, and the economy and all of those things, it's not that hard to feel overwhelmed. Well, you know, a lot of times you go to a party, you think, well, I'm just going to let go. I'm going to imbibe. I'm going to look at all this eggnog. Look at all this cheer and wonderful. Well, that can back up on you. You know, that might not be your primary coping skill to get through the holiday season.
Well, so many people don't understand, and maybe they do and just ignore it, is that, you know, alcohol is a depressant.
Exactly.
You're feeding into your own depression if you're imbibing, overindulging, if you will. And, of course, the other thing is the drugs and everything else that can go along with that. And I don't want to digress onto that stuff, but the fact is that we don't have the coping skills sometimes to handle that.
Well, and if that is your coping skill, You know, and we try not to judge because we know people reach a point, you know, on their very own. We like to say when you're ready to quit, again, come see us at the counseling center. And also, you know, if you're going to make it through this holiday season and that is your coping skill, but, you know, come the new year, it's time for you to make your New Year's resolution and you're going to come clean. Great. You know, come talk to us at that point. But if you know that when you go home that there's going to be a lot of, you know, family arguments and all that stuff, maybe that's not the time to, you know, overindulge in, you know, the alcohol and
so what does the Montrose Counseling Center have? Do they have any programs specifically for this time?
Probably the most important thing that we have during this time is the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, which has volunteers working, you know, and when we don't have somebody in the office, we have people who are on call. And if you're lonely, if you're having a very difficult time, you can call and ask to speak with a volunteer. They're there to lend a friendly ear. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to try to solve your problems. Mm-hmm. They're just there to listen. And so that's one of the things that we can do at the counseling center. Certainly, too, if you know, you find yourself having a really difficult time, you can come and talk to somebody at the counseling
center. Well, since you mentioned the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, what's the number?
It's 713-529-3211.
Okay, well, we'll mention that a few times. So if you didn't have a pencil then,
right,
we'll get one, get your paper ready, and we'll give it later.
Well, and one of the other things I wanted to talk about is because of the stress, and you know, especially with finances and that sort of thing and family issues, even if you're in a relationship, this can be a very lonely time of year because, first of all, there can be stress, and that might escalate into more fights with your partner. It could escalate. Let's say you and your partner, it's okay for you to go home to see your family, but your family won't let you bring your partner with you. You know,
exactly.
It's okay to be gay, but let's not talk about it, or we don't want grandma to know, or whatever that is. So your partner gets left behind. What does that feel like? And
like an elephant in the middle of the room.
Exactly.
A big old pink elephant in the middle of the room.
So
lavender.
And you might feel like, hey, if you loved me, you know, you'd bring me to your family, you know, but that's...
It's not that easy.
It's definitely not that easy.
So, yeah, especially in Texas. You know.
It's a challenge, yeah.
So those are some of the things that some of the people in our community might be facing. It's also not the time of year that we recommend that people come out to their family because people might be tempted to think, oh, you know, everybody's going to be sitting around the dinner table. I can come out to everybody all at once, you know, and get this.
What a great idea, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't want to be remembered as the one that ruined, you know,
ruined
the holidays
the Christmas
2008.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Remember Christmas 2008
right.
When Johnny told us he was really Sally? I remember that.
You know when Grandma threw up the dressing all over?
I know. Please pass the mashed potatoes, by the way, everyone. Have I mentioned? This is my girlfriend. So, so a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of travel over the holidays, and maybe that's difficult to afford. So, there's a lot of layers to this, this time of year.
And do you think that just talking about it is the answer, or is there more we need to do?
Well, a couple of things. I think that it is important to find people that you can talk to and also to think about what your expectations are and look at those and say, are these realistic expectations? You know, am I thinking about a career in Ives picture perfect holiday season? And if I can't have that, you know, am I going to be disappointed? What are my expectations in terms of the parties that I go to, who I'm going to meet, all of those things? Find out, think about what's realistic. The other thing, like I said, is, you know, I'm anticipating that this is going to be difficult. Christmas for me was very much surrounded, you know, with my mother. And in fact, every year she would write on our packages, you know, to all of us kids, Dear Sal, to Sally from Santa. I mean, I'm 43 years old. She was writing, you know, to Sally from Santa. Well, so
what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? Okay, I'm not going to get a gift from Santa this year. So I'm anticipating, you know, that there might be just kind of that swell of emotional, boy, I sure miss her.
Is this the first year?
This is actually the second year.
Yeah, I'm on my second year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so I can anticipate that. And I also know that a lot of the daytime was spent with her. What am I going to do with the hours throughout the day?
I think the worst part for me is just seeing the empty spot at the table.
Sure.
Where she would have sat.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's like, oh.
Well, and for me, one of the things that I've shared with a lot of people in the community. I've recently had gastric bypass surgery.
Right.
And so that alters the food that we're going to be eating.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a lot of traditions that were tied up in food and tied up with food that my mother loved. And so some of those things. And I don't have the comfort. I mean, we all have our vices, you know. Yeah. Mine might not be, you know, having a drink, but boy, it sure was eating a lot of food.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. That extra serving of
you name
pie
it.
And
that
cream
and that.
Mashed potatoes. Well, on and on and on.
So my plan is, you know, now I, you know, here it is Monday night before the holidays.
Yes.
I know it's going to be a hard time. I'm going to rent movies. And I'm going to rent more movies than anybody could possibly see in one day. So I've got a backup plan. Anticipate if you need a backup plan. If you need, like if you're going to your family members and you might need to have a rescue phone call from your partner to be able to, oh, I'm so sorry, that was work. I got to go. I got to go.
Oh, yeah.
It's an emergency.
I was going to say that one of the things, and one of my coping skills, because in my own story, I had complete rejection from my family, and so it was difficult because we were had those not quite Norman Rockwell Christmases, more Norman Schwarzkopf, but it was still Christmas. It was still family. You know, it may have been a war between us, but it was family. And when that first couple of Christmases, it was tough.
Hey, Sally, here's one for you. Since you mentioned the breakaway phone call from the partner.
Yes.
You know when things get really bad with the family? Okay, so in the back of your mind, you've got this nagging feeling of guilt because you've already got the guilt coming at you, and now you've got this internalized guilt because you're like, well, I really should be enjoying my family, but I'm not, and I'm going away with my partner now.
That's true. And a lot of people, I mean, what about going to Key West? You know?
Well, there's your family, and then there's your air quotes family, your community family.
Yeah, family.
Well,
there's during those times, because that was almost 9 years before any member of my family spoke to me, was the fact that I had my chosen family, my family of choice,
right?
Whoever they were and whatever they were, and this is something to everyone, you know, you have friends. And there are parties where friends get together and it's just the spare parts and they put together a Christmas dinner to be with one another.
Right.
And this is what I was alluding to in my own experience was have a plan.
Well,
have a plan to do, you know, make a plan.
Well, and let's talk about the active part of that. And that is, you know, if you're making it through the holiday, trying to get through the holidays, and you see everybody else around you already has plans, and you think, why not me? Why? How come I'm always left out? Well, there's nothing stopping you from being the invitee. Why don't you call
the host?
People? Yeah. And even if you don't, you know, you may not want to have a party, but speak up for yourself. You know what? It's really a shame. I'm going to miss my mom this year, so we're going to be kind of lonely this time. And, you know, you would be surprised if you mentioned that to your friends. Oh, you know what? We're going to go to the movies. Or we're going to go eat. Oh, we're going to go over to Mary's. Mary's always has something going on Christmas, so we're going to go over there. Why don't you join us? But you need to be able to speak up for yourself and tell people, you know, I'm anticipating this might be a hard year for me.
Exactly. And that's what I was alluding to is the fact when you get that resignation, oh, it's just going to be this way, and you almost embrace the depression or the blues when you don't have to. With the least bit of effort, unless there's some clinical problem,
sure.
The least bit of effort, you can change your attitude toward what's going on. A Christmas tree lighting, a group of friends. You may even have neighbors having a party that you could invite yourself to.
Sure.
With very little difficulty.
I know. Did anybody? I make the best pies in the whole wide world. I would sure love to bring one to you for Christmas. You know, invite yourself.
And for $4.99, you can go buy one at a grocery store and bring it, saying, "Hey, I come to the party. I brought the
put
pie.
Put it in your pot and then put it in the oven and I'm like, oh, it's warm.
The thing is that in half the time if you go to some parties like that, it says, well, who invites so-and-so? Oh, so-and-so.
Oh, I know Billy.
Nobody will know. Dave. They'll think you're somebody's friend.
Right.
Because we find ourselves in those lonely situations, and we don't have to unless we embrace it.
Well, it's easy to embrace it and just kind of go into that shell.
Well, sometimes it's so familiar to us.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily that we're embracing the sadness. We're embracing the familiarity.
Yeah.
And so because we've been down this path before, I know what this feels like. It's scary to go out to a party and meet people, especially if you're not very outgoing, to be able to say, hey, you know, I don't have anything going on New Year's Eve this year. You know, do you guys have plans? Or, you know, what's everybody doing? Or, you know, pick up an Outsmart magazine. Yeah. Or, you know, keep listening to Queer Voices. You'll find something else going on.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a lot of opportunities.
There's a lot going on. And there's a lot going on in Houston. There's lots of things. And sometimes, you know, all you need is one person to say, hey, let's go.
Exactly.
And you can be that person to say, go. Give us the number again. I told him I'd say it a couple of times.
Sure. So. I want to give the number for the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, which is 713-529-3211. But also, if you think it might help to just talk with somebody, the phone number for the Counseling Center is 713-529-0037.
And probably one of the second most important phone numbers you can have are all of those numbers on your phone that you haven't spoken to those people in weeks.
Exactly.
Start calling them. Wish them a happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, Hanukkah,
and the other
Kwanzaa.
Thing is, how good do we feel when we give back? So even if you're not doing anything, you can volunteer. You can be the one that says, hey, you know what, there's nothing going on over at George's, but they're open, so maybe I should be the one that starts the potluck and see if I can get a bunch of people, you know, to bring together a meal. And I guarantee you, you're not going to be alone. You know, so
because there are a lot of people who feel the same way. If you think you're alone in your feelings, you are wrong. There's a lot of people like that. Just find those people gathered around. Start something on your own. Look in Outsmart. Look in the paper. Look in the Zest, yesterday's paper. Look at what's going on. Find something that you can do and make a plan to participate. Because no one looks good on a pity pot.
Exactly. I mean, and this is a big city, and there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way you do. So just reach out and connect with those people.
Yeah, exactly. And even, you know, there's a lot of places that feed the homeless on the holidays. Mm-hmm. And so you can connect to something like that. And, you know, even if you're feeling down yourself, I guarantee if you go and help other people,
it raises you up.
It absolutely will.
And if you find yourself, and I don't want to forget, because I know people listen, if you find yourself incarcerated during this time, you can still enjoy the holidays by making whatever effort and joining in with whatever they do have planned. And you can listen to us. We'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be here, too.
Absolutely. I want to thank you, Sally, for coming.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Give me the number again.
Yes, but also real quick, I just want to mention...
Yeah.
Because people are making New Year's resolutions, we do have our coming out support group starting up in January on the 28th, and it's going to be meeting every Wednesday for 7 weeks. You don't have to be a client at the Counseling Center. You can just come. It's a drop-in group. There's no fee. We'll ask for a donation, you know, that kind of thing. So if that's part of your New Year's resolution is to come out, you know, think about coming to the Counseling Center.
Exactly, exactly. So, give us our telephone numbers.
For the switchboard, 713-529-3211. And for Montrose Counseling Center, it's 713-529-0037.
Brian's over here signing it. Yes. Thank you, Sally. Thank you, Brian.
I'm doing it for our deaf listeners.
Yes. This is Jennifer Renee, and this is Queer Voices.
And coming up next on Queer Voices, This Way Out's news wrap and the rest of This Way Out. We're going to play it all together as one unit. Those people over there in the studio are having just too much fun. They're just giggle fest over there. But first... I have a little piece of music here. This is from JD, and it's sort of a prelude to queer music heritage in the second hour of Queer Voices this evening, which is going to be CD 1 of his Christmas special. So for sort of a prelude to that, here is Melissa Etheridge, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Have let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
From this life, even so, and maybe. be born anew. The sky is full of snow that falls and deepens on the trail, and the river's icy veil. Still, inside it is warm and kind, though the world is black and white, and the wind moans all the night. Though the world is black and white, and the wind moans all the night. May peace be your guest and your blessing at this time and all the whole and all year through. And may you get what you ordered from this light. Even so, and may the light in our winter hearts be born anew. May the light be born. Still it shall break forth again. Dies Natalis, solis inviti. Dies Natalis, solis inviti. Dies Natalis, solis inviti. The birthday of the undefeated sun. Speak words can go unheard until sunny summer days when the light comes full in play. Holy nights the shepherd comes and so the king. Feel the radiance of light through the long cold winter nights. Feel the radiance of light through the long cold winter nights. May peace be your gift and your blessing. What you wanted from this night. Even so, and may the light in our winter hearts be born anew. May the light be born anew. May peace be a gift and your blessing at this time and all year through. May you get what you wanted from this night. Even so, and may the light in our winter hearts be born anew. May the light be born anew.
That was Chris Williamson, a song called Winter Hearts. And before that, Melissa Etheridge, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. You're listening to Queer Voices, and now it's time for This Way Out's news wrap and also the rest of This Way Out. And then coming up at the top of our second hour, J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage Christmas Special.
I'm opposed to having a brother and sister be together and call that marriage. I'm opposed to an older guy marrying a child and calling that a marriage.
You think those are equivalent to gays getting married?
Oh, I do.
Oh, I do. Oh, I do.
People give me these assignments because they, on some level, want to hear what I have to say, which is the greatest privilege on earth. I mean, being listened to is truly the greatest privilege on earth. There's nothing better.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Heterosexual inclusion kills Hungary's partnerships law. Activists fume over Obama's clerical error. And don't get too comfortable around writer David Rakoff. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending December 20th, 2008. Hungary's constitutional court ruled this week that the country's registered partnerships law, due to take effect in January, is unconstitutional. The legislation, passed by Parliament last December, provided marriage-like rights to same-gender and unmarried heterosexual couples. Several petitions submitted to the court by Christian conservative groups opposed the law because they said it equated gay and lesbian partnerships with marriage. The court said it had no problem with the registry for same-gender couples, but that the law couldn't include heterosexual couples who already have the right to marry. Creating a near-duplicate institution for those couples, the court wrote, also contradicted the special protection of marriage in the Hungarian constitution. LGBT rights activists called on the government to introduce a new registry law that applies only to gay and lesbian couples. Supporters worry that some MPs who voted for the original legislation because it offered an alternative to heterosexual couples may not support a new same-gender couples-only bill.
Sweden's highest court this week rejected a petition from a gay couple who sought recognition of their legal Canadian marriage in their home country. Married couples in Sweden pay a lower income tax rate than single people, and the country currently offers only civil unions to gay and lesbian couples. Lars Garfelt and Lars Arnell, each priests in the Church of Sweden, argued that having to pay the higher tax rate was discriminatory. But the court ruled that the country's laws don't recognize the marriage of a same-gender couple, and that their Canadian marriage was legally a civil union in Sweden. A parliamentary committee studying the issue last year said that civil unions, created in 1995, are outdated, and recommended the passage of marriage equality legislation. Six of Sweden's seven political parties support such a measure, with only the small Christian Democratic Party opposing. Prime Minister Fredrik Reinfeldt said last month that a bill making marriage gender neutral is on track and should become law by next May.
In California, each side filed briefs late this week for the Supreme Court's pending hearing on the validity of Proposition 8. Almost 53% of the state's voters approved that measure, which overturned the High Court's May marriage equality ruling and constitutionally defined marriage as heterosexual only. LGBT legal advocates are arguing that the proposition was not a simple amendment to the Constitution, which requires only a majority vote. They say that by denying what the court called the fundamental right to marry to a legitimate minority group, gays and lesbians, the measure was an attempted revision of the Constitution, which requires a two-thirds vote. In a move that surprised some, the brief submitted by California Attorney General Jerry Brown agreed with Prop 8 opponents. He had originally promised to support the measure as part of his duties to defend state laws, but said that after studying the issue, he concluded that its passage was unconstitutional. Proposition 8 must be invalidated, he said in a prepared statement, because the amendment process cannot be used to extinguish fundamental constitutional rights without compelling justification. And, he noted, the court's original marriage equality ruling found none.
Proposition 8 supporters not only defend the ballot measure in their briefs as a simple amendment, but are also asking the court to nullify the approximately 18,000 gay and lesbian marriages that were conducted between the time the Supreme Court ruling took effect in mid-June and the passage of Proposition 8 on November 4th. They've never, until now, announced that as a goal. Rick Jacobs of the anti-Proposition 8 Courage campaign said he was appalled that the move was buried in a legal brief. If Proposition 8's sponsors plan to destroy lives, he said, they should at least have the courage to admit it publicly. The High Court is not expected to hear arguments in the case until at least March. ProtectMarriage.com and the Proposition 8 Legal Defense Fund did announce this week that Kenneth Starr will serve as the lead counsel and argue their case to the court. Starr's infamous $70 million investigation of alleged financial improprieties by the Clintons in the late 1990s turned up evidence only of the president's dalliance with Monica Lewinsky. That led to Clinton's impeachment by the House of Representatives, but the Senate acquitted him.
Incoming President Barack Obama this week nominated the first openly LGBT person to his new administration. She's now Los Angeles Deputy Mayor Nancy Sutley, but if confirmed by the Senate as expected, she'll join the new president as head of the White House Council on Environmental Quality. Sutley has a strong background on those issues, and before becoming LA Deputy Mayor, served in various capacities at federal and state environmental agencies.
Obama's choice for Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, appears to be an LGBT ally. He backed the creation of a high school for LGBT students in his native Chicago, a plan that was hastily withdrawn after criticism from some other officials. Some LGBT advocacy groups also opposed the school, saying that integration and safety, not segregation, was needed to protect sexual minority students on campus.
There were also suggestions this week that Obama plans to name an openly gay man to be Secretary of the Navy. Several members of Congress and retired members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff are reportedly recommending William White, the president of New York's Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum, to fill that post. It's a civilian job, so his appointment wouldn't violate the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell ban on openly lesbi-gay service members. But Obama angered LGBT advocates and many progressive supporters this week by inviting a vocal opponent of LGBT equality to give the invocation at his inauguration. We'll have more about Pastor Rick Warren later in the program.
The outgoing Bush administration took what is probably its final dump on LGBT Americans this week by refusing to sign an unprecedented statement presented to the General Assembly of the United Nations affirming the human rights of sexual minorities and calling for their protection around the world. We urge states to take all the necessary measures, in particular legislative or administrative, the draft document read, to ensure that sexual orientation or gender identity may under no circumstances be the basis for criminal penalties, in particular executions, arrests, or detention. It was proposed by France and read on December 18th by Argentinian Ambassador Jorge Arguello, and was the first ever discussion of the rights of LGBT people in the United Nations General Assembly. Alone among major Western nations, and in strange alliance with members of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, who actively opposed the statement, U.S. officials variously cited the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy and the fear of infringing on U.S. state rights as reasons for not joining 66 of the UN's 192 member countries to support the statement, including every nation in the European Union, several Eastern European and Latin American countries, Israel, Nepal, Japan, and a few African countries. Paula Edelbrick of the U.S.-based International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission called the Bush administration's position appalling. To the surprise of some, South Africa, one of the world's most legislatively lesbi-gay progressive countries, also failed to sign the statement. China, Russia, and India also didn't sign on.
About 55 countries actively opposed the initiative. Arab nations, led by Syria, issued a joint statement charging that such social normalization could lead to the legitimization of many deplorable acts, including pedophilia. Consensual adult same-gender sex remains a crime in more than 75 countries around the world. In at least seven countries, convictions carry a possible death sentence. But Dutch Foreign Minister Maxime Verhagen called it a very special day at the UN. For the first time in history, he told reporters, a large group of member states speaks out in the General Assembly against discrimination based on sexual orientation. With today's statement, this is no longer a taboo within the UN.
And finally, LGBT people and their allies in two Asian locales celebrated Pride in the waning days of 2008. Manila's 14th annual parade was held on December 6th, followed by a Miss Queen Philippines beauty pageant and street party. For the first time, a handful of Christian fundamentalists picketed the parade in protest. But also for the first time, smaller Pride events were held that weekend in a few other cities around the country. What some called a truly revolutionary Pride March was held in Hong Kong on December 13th. About 1,000 people took part in the conservative former British colony's first such official event. Several expatriates and visitors from mainland China and Taiwan joined colorfully dressed locals waving rainbow flags in the 2-mile procession through the city center, passing hundreds of mostly bemused onlookers. Organizers had overcome resistance by several government agencies and local businesses to pull it off. A few small demonstrations obliquely calling for sexual minority rights have been held in Hong Kong over the past few years, but many of their relative handful of participants often wore masks to conceal their identities. One of the organizers of the Closet Bursting, December 13th March, Connie Chan, called it a complete success, telling reporters that it was time for Hong Kong to have a regular pride parade, just like other modern Asian cities.
That's News Wrap for the week ending December 20th, 2008. Written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Sherry Lunn.
Later in the program, we don't get too comfortable with a gay gonzo journalist. But first, many progressives in the U.S., especially in the LGBT community, are angry at Barack Obama. The president-elect announced this week that he's invited prominent evangelical minister Rick Warren to deliver the invocation at his inauguration. Pastor Warren heads Southern California's Saddleback Church and appears to be the successor to religious right leaders Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell on the national stage. He shares their views opposing reproductive rights and LGBT equality and told the Wall Street Journal last week why same-gender couples shouldn't be allowed to marry. There was extensive media coverage of Obama's controversial pick when the story broke on December 18th, but none topped the insightful perspective of openly lesbian commentator Rachel Maddow on her self-titled MSNBC cable TV show. Here are some tasty morsels.
Why the controversy about Rick Warren? This might help.
I'm opposed to having a brother and sister be together and call that marriage. I'm opposed to an older guy marrying a child and calling that a marriage. I'm opposed to one guy having multiple wives and calling that marriage.
You think those are equivalent to gays getting married?
Oh, I do. I think that the prospect of a same-sex couple getting married is the equivalent of pedophilia and incest. Oh, I do. Now you see what the controversy is all about. Americans who support gay rights are miffed about this choice, to say the least, which is probably to be expected. What may have been underestimated by the Obama folks who undoubtedly factored gay backlash into the decision to choose Rick Warren was just how much the gay community and its supporters are not in the mood to be kicked around again right now. President-elect Obama defended himself on the subject today at a press conference that, of course, was supposed to be about something totally different than this.
I think that it is no secret that I am a fierce advocate for equality for gay and lesbian Americans. I would note that a couple of years ago, I was invited to Rick Warren's church to speak, despite his awareness that I held views that were entirely contrary to his when it came to gay and lesbian rights.
The implication of Senator Obama's defense is that he is returning the favor, returning the invitation that Pastor Warren so generously offered to him when he invited Obama to Saddleback. But Obama is not inviting Rick Warren to his church or into his campaign or something. He's inviting him to the nation's capital to convene the swearing-in of the next president of the United States. The president-elect did not invite Warren to his home. He invited him, proverbially, to ours, the nation's, which has raised hackles in the gay community and among those who support gay rights across the country because it begs the question as to whether Obama thinks the right spiritual clarion for the nation to start his presidency is from a man who has been so immoderate in taking up his position in the culture war. Rick Warren has compared abortion to the Holocaust. As you've heard, he has compared same-sex relationships to pedophilia and incest. He was a vocal proponent of the anti-gay marriage proposition in California, arguing falsely that allowing same-sex couples to be married would result in hate speech charges against people who disagreed with homosexuality. Pastor Rick Warren gets a lot of national media credit for highlighting the religious evangelical interest in non-traditional issues like climate change and genocide in Darfur. But just because he talks about issues that American evangelicals don't frequently talk about doesn't mean that he has anything other than a traditional hard right perspective on those traditional culture war issues that evangelicals really do like to talk about.
analysis by the openly lesbian commentator on her MSNBC Rachel Maddow show. The issue was President-elect Obama's controversial choice of evangelical Christian leader Rick Warren to deliver the opening blessing at his inauguration. Obama did ask the Reverend Joseph Lowry, founder with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and an outspoken supporter of full equality for LGBT people, to deliver the inauguration's benediction. Nevertheless, openly gay Congressman Barney Frank said he was deeply offended by the president-elect's decision to offer Warren such a high-profile spotlight on the national stage, calling it a profound slap in the face to LGBT Americans and all who stand for equality. Equality California leader Jeffrey Kors said he's declined his invitation to attend the inauguration. The National Gay and Lesbian Task Force's Rhea Carey called Warren's selection a divisive choice, and Joe Salmanese of the Human Rights Campaign said it was disrespectful to the LGBT people who supported Obama's presidential candidacy by an almost 75% margin. Pastor Warren reacted to the firestorm with a statement commending Obama for his courage to willingly take enormous heat from his base by inviting someone like me, with whom he doesn't agree on every issue. He lauded what he called their shared commitment to model civility in America. But a statement on the Saddleback Church's website warns that someone unwilling to repent of their homosexual lifestyle would not be accepted as a member. In the end, long after this controversy has become a footnote in history, it will be the Obama presidency's policies and actions on LGBT issues that matter.
It's that time of year again when many of you in the U.S. consider ways to maximize your annual charitable tax deductions. Unlike many other worthwhile causes, we can't survive without your help. Log on to thiswayout.org to get some unique musical, cultural, and historical programming from the This Way Out archives as our thanks for your support. No matter where you are in the world, we can't go on without you. Log on to thiswayout.org to help keep this program on the air. From the This Way Out family to you and yours, thank you and happy holidays.
Canadian-born essayist David Rakoff is a pretty funny guy, but he's not just joking, like his sometime collaborator David Sedaris, but with a world view through a very different queer filter. Rakoff gained national attention in the U.S. with a series of public radio pieces. Many of those were included in his first book, Fraud. He recently toured Australia to promote his latest collection, Don't Get Too Comfortable, where he got comfortable, but not too comfortable, with This Way Out's John Frame in Brisbane.
You are a journalist by trade.
Yeah, whatever training I have, such as it is as a reporter, as a journalist.
What we see in Don't Get Too Comfortable, mm-hmm. Some articles that really probably lend a bit to the Hunter S. Thompson Gonzo journalism style. But do you see yourself doing that?
How do you mean Gonzo? How do you understand that?
Almost as if what you're doing is going out and making the story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of it, in fact, is going out and making the story for that reason, to explore something, you know, to see if I can do a 20-day fast and achieve enlightenment, things like that, you know. Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely that aspect to it. I mean, I'm an experiential writer, so it stands to reason that I would do stuff like that, I think.
Yep.
I'm the luckiest guy alive. I really say it with no fear of contradiction. I'm the luckiest guy in North America. I am given access to things that I would never in my daily life ever be able to get into or see or experience. And even better, you know, people give me these assignments because they, on some level, want to hear what I have to say, which is the greatest privilege on earth. I mean, being listened to is truly the greatest privilege on earth. There's nothing better.
I get the impression from all of your stories that you're not writing to set up a joke. These stories are independently interesting.
Yeah, being funny is... I like being funny, and the hope is that I am sort of funny in a kind of a melancholic and rueful way, but the joke is very rarely the actual point. If a joke comes, it's simply because of the way I see things. But no, there's a, you know, the primary purpose is to tell the story or to make the point,
yep.
the larger point.
How much of your work do you think is really informed by, or perhaps exclusively affected by, the fact that you're a gay man?
I'd say all of it and none of it. You know, I am gay, but it's not, it's, in terms of my work, it's kind of beside the point, and it's kind of completely the filter through which I see everything. But it's also, you know, the fact that I'm Jewish is the filter through which I see everything. The fact that I live in New York is the filter through which I see everything. The fact that I was born and raised in Canada. You know, all these things are ineluctably bound up one with the other. So it's not like I can tease them, the fibers apart of that sort of braid of identity. But I live in New York City, and I work in the media, where everybody I know is essentially out. I don't really know many people who aren't just out as a matter of course in a completely unselfconscious way. You know, it's not, and I think for generations younger than myself, it's even more casual. I'm sure elsewhere it's different and it's still a huge struggle, but it's, that's not my personal experience in this day and age.
Great. So we hear of musicians and actors that I've spoken to will say that they're well aware that the fact that they were open about their sexuality did close some doors to them. Have you experienced that at all?
No, I mean, it's different in writing. It's completely different in journalism. It's not, they're not even remotely connected. But, you know, insofar as anybody knows who I am, and nobody knows who I am, but insofar as anybody does know who I am, it's different. The public's relationship to a writer is not one of projection. Writing is about disclosure. Even though I don't talk about my family and I don't talk about my life and I don't really talk personally beyond this very controlled revelation, it's still disclosure. It's not like being an actor where you're essentially a blank screen onto which they can project their own assumptions about what you are, and they need for you to be straight in order for them to buy you as a leading man or a leading woman or whatever. I think we got a long way to go before an actor can be fully out. There are a few candidates, I think, who might manage. There's an actor on Broadway currently named Cheyenne Jackson, who's in the Broadway show Xanadu. And he's, you know, virtuosically talented, really funny, and really, really good looking, and completely out. And he seems to have the potential to be the first out movie star. I mean, movie star, not character actor who plays a hotel concierge. You know, like a leading man with a female love interest. And I don't think anybody would care. But who knows?
In several of your stories, you do speak a little bit self-effacedly, as if you're not terribly happy, perhaps, with your looks or your life. But are you actually just having a bit of a lend of the reader?
No, no, I'm not. I'm not, you know, the way I look has never been my calling card. I mean, that's actually not true. The way my physical appearance was very, very much part of my identity as a child, because I was tiny. And when you, I essentially didn't manifest physically. I was so small for my age until I was about 17. So insofar as the way I looked was my currency, yes, I developed conversation as a result. I learned how to speak. I became very, very hyper-articulate as a child because I was so unprepossessing physically. But, you know, I even say in the book, you know, I'm not, my face has never been my fortune. At the same time, it's also not a punchline. Like, you know, it doesn't charm people from the trees. It also doesn't have them running scared either. You know, it's okay. But it's not the thing that I present to the world. The thing I present to the world is talk, chatter.
It's clear, apparently, that you're working your way from 40 to 50, perhaps.
I am.
You're on the way?
Yes.
Yep. So do you feel that you've achieved enough and you've enjoyed life enough so that you could actually say, if you did actually get sort of advice of, well, your own time is limited, would you be happy?
That's very interesting. You mean if I were to buy the farm in front of a bus tonight, you mean?
Mm.
I'm pretty glad and feel immensely lucky with what I've gotten to do so far. But I'd like to do more. I'd rather not buy the farm in front of a bus this afternoon. I'd like to work more. I'd like to. There are certain personal things that I'd like to achieve. But you know, things are both beautiful and tough all over. So, whatever. There's nothing I can do about it.
It's been lovely chatting with you, David Radcliffe, author of Don't Get Too Comfortable, traveling around Australia at the moment, and I hope that you wind up very quickly with your third book being published.
From your mouth to God's ear, as they say. Thank you very much.
This Way Out, Brisbane correspondent John Frame spoke with David Radcliffe about his latest book, Don't Get Too Comfortable.
So what were the best gay films of 2008?
I need some time. I just don't know if this is really what I want.
Seems like what you want.
Until I met him, I'd never known anybody to take such an interest in me.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
And how did we fare on TV?
I'm Dr. Eve, when you de-homosexualize me, will I still be able to perform as Tammy Wynette?
Hi, I'm Steve Pride. Join me in 2 weeks on This Way Out for a special look at Pride on Screen in 2008.
And next week on This Way Out...
I'll rock the show no matter where I go. I am the queen, the diva, honey, don't you know?
She's been dubbed a dyke diva.
I'm just speaking from my heart. I'm just speaking from my heart.
And his velvet gravel voice intones hauntingly beautiful songs. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. These are just two of the LGBT voices we featured on Audiophile this year.
Join us as we take a longer listen to our favorite seven on the Audiophile 2008 Year in Review, here on This Way Out.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Sherry Lund, Rick Watts, Rex Walker with Bill Kelly, John Frame, Steve Pride, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to postal mail CDs or cassettes of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Happy holidays, and thanks for listening on WOMR, Provincetown, Massachusetts, KVSC, St. Cloud, Minnesota, CFUV, Victoria, British Columbia, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Christmas at all. I remember when you were here and all the fun that we had last year. Pretty lights on a tree. I'm watching them shine. You should be here with me. Baby, please come home. Baby, please come home.
And what a terrific way to start off my queer Christmas special. If you stick around, you'll hear Christmas music you won't hear anywhere else. I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage. That's found on Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. On this show, I'll try to bring you gay-related Christmas music that is entertaining and sometimes obscure. But that opening artist is certainly not obscure. I'm sure you recognize the voice of Melissa Etheridge, and I was delighted when I heard that she was releasing a Christmas album this year. And even more delighted when I heard it. It's one of the very best holiday albums by a GLBT artist, period. Let me say that again. It's one of the very best holiday albums by a GLBT artist. That's how impressed I am with it. I knew immediately when I heard her do one of my all-time favorites, the Darling Love classic, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, that it would open this show. The album is excellent throughout, and I want to share one more song from it. And picking it was tough, but here's an original by her, It's Christmas Time.
Fa La 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 La, Melissa Etheridge, with two songs from the album called A New Thought for Christmas. This year, I'm again doing additional parts to this special, which can be found on my site, and you can hear more of Melissa there. And be sure to stick around, because later in this show, I'll bring you a special interview with Chris Williamson, who has just released a new holiday album. Up next is Beth Ditto of the band Gossip, and this song is not typical of their sound. They're on the Kill Rock Stars label and accordingly lean more towards Riot Girl music, but I love this one from 2006 called Every Day is Christmas with You.
Yuletide carol, la 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 la.
Following Beth Ditto was Jennifer O'Connor, who's been getting a lot of attention with her latest album from this year called Here With You. The song was Christmas Party. But I started it off with a little bit of a demo of her doing Deck the Halls. Of course, this show is not going to be just female artists, and I've got James Collins telling us about the song I Just Can't Wait Till Christmas Time that he released last year as an MP3 single.
I Just Can't Wait Till Christmas Time is just one of those songs. It's about somebody who despises Christmas, and finally, they see Christmas through the eyes of somebody they just fell for. And now it all makes sense to them. You know, they want to make the angels in the snow. You know, at one point it would be like they couldn't wait to get away to someplace warm, someplace south, and now it's kind of like, I think I want to stay here because you're in my life.
Used to be that Christmas time never meant a thing to me. Waking up all by myself, nothing underneath the tree. Now when I open up my eyes, it's your smiling face I see. Now I just can't wait till Christmas time. Every year around this time, I just had to get away. Instead of hanging mistletoe, I took her some good holiday. But this year I think I'll stick around, 'cause now I've got a reason to stay. And I just can't wait till Christmas time. Now that I've got you in my life, no, I just can't wait till Christmas time. This time my world around, it's the sweetest gift I've ever had. Now making angels in the snow somehow doesn't seem so bad. To think I hated Christmas songs, man, I must have been mad. And I just can't wait till Christmas time. Now that I've got you in my life, no, I just can't wait till Christmas time. This time it's just me and you. There's so much here we can do. This year it feels like it's all brand new. So bring on the snow and bring Santa too. 'Cause I just can't wait till Christmas time. Now that I've got you in my life, no, I just can't wait till Christmas time. This time, no, I just can't wait till Christmas time. This time, I just can't wait till Christmas time.
You don't need no clothes. Daddy Claus knows what you want for Christmas. Daddy Claus knows what you need. Daddy Claus has what you want for Christmas. Daddy Claus has what you need. Daddy knows. Daddy knows. Daddy knows. Tell them elves to keep their hands to themselves. Woo! fun dad who's glad when you're bad.
If you don't know what you want for Christmas, give your daddy a call. Daddy Claus has what you want for Christmas, and you won't find it at the mall. Daddy knows.
That was Jay Spears, who seems to come up with a new Christmas song every year, and I hope he never stops. Up next is a duo called Just Us Boys. That's spelled J-U-S-T-U-S-B-O-Y-Z, and they're a bit mysterious. They're a Detroit couple, longtime partners Phil Elam and Mike Buola, and a few years ago they got a lot of airplay with their song Calling All Boys. But if you do a Google search on them, you won't find much information on their music. Instead, you'll find lots on their clothing line, Just Us Boys, with lots of hot male models in sexy briefs. Sometimes researching for this show is downright hard. Anyway, last year they put out a very nice single called Snow on Christmas Day.
Gloomy Monday, and you're feeling down, and you said your head's so heavy you can't feel proud. Well, just to remember this one thing, man, right here over your shoulder with this song to sing. Cause you're my sunlight.
I've been a fan of the music of Rick Berlin for quite a while, and he's got quite a music history.
Going back to the mid-70s, he's been in bands like Orchestra Luna, Berlin Airlift, and the Shelley Winters Project, and has a series of what I call dark cabaret albums, which I quite like. His latest one, Old Stag, has the interesting song Lesbians in the Snow. How could I resist?
Happy lesbians in the snow, throwing snowballs, making angels back and forth. All the boys stand around wishing they were lesbians. Happy lesbians in the snow, throwing snowballs, making angels back and forth. What do they do when they go home? They lie on the floor with a Labrador, with a Labrador.
Up next is a song from 1988 and a big hit in England called Mistletoe and Wine.
The child is a king, the carol a sing, the old is past, there's a new beginning. Dreams of Santa, dreams of snow, fingers numb, faces aglow, it's Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing Christian rhyme, with logs on the fire, gifts on the tree, a time to rejoice in the good that we see.
That's Cliff Richard, a very big pop star in the UK for decades and notoriously in the closet. So much so that a young British artist has just recorded a song mocking Cliff Richard as being, well, sanctimonious. And the song mentions a couple members of Parliament that also deserved singling out. So we are morphing from Christmas Time, Mistletoe and Wine to a song called Christmas Time for Sanctimonious Swine.
On a spit road. This is a sanctimonious Christmas.
That was Steve McCabe, and the song is from a compilation album on the Cherry Aid label called A Very Cherry Christmas, Volume 4. Steve tells me that the other folks mentioned, since Americans will not likely be familiar with them, were Ann Widdencombe and David Cameron, two very conservative and not gay-friendly UK politicians. And leading us to the mid-show break is a comedy team called Bob Television, and a song from one of their skits called Queerest Time of the Year.
If you look outside, I think you'll see it's clear. There is no fair holiday than Christmas. Christmas is the queerest time of year. The only thing they did is keep from staying in the winter. It's all a vicious and excuse to wear it for another. His elves all wear green tights and have bells upon their toes. He says they make the toys, but they're really Santa's hoes. There is no fair holiday than Christmas. If you look outside, I think you'll see it's clear. There is no fair holiday than Christmas. Christmas is the queerest time of year. Now every day it may seem gay if you're not into pink. St. Patrick's Day could be that way if you've had lots to drink. Can't think of a gayer holiday, but tell me if you can. On Christmas you get lost at work and love your fellow man. There is no gayer holiday than Christmas. If you look outside, I think you'll see it clear. There is no gayer holiday than Christmas. Christmas is the queerest time of the year.
Yes, the queerest time of the year, and this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings, because our music history is a visual as well as an audio experience. You know, I collect gay and lesbian-related Christmas records all year, and it seems like this was a banner year as I found enough new material, songs I've never played before, to do several hours of programming. So, having no willpower, that's what I did. And you can find over 4 hours of it at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night, Sunday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. Early in the show, I promised you an interview with Chris Williamson. And this is an artist I certainly should not have to introduce to my listeners, as she's been recording for over 40 years and was one of the leading pioneers of women's music, first with Olivia Records and then with her own label, being and continuing to be a role model. Her first Olivia album, The Changer and the Changed, well, changed our music history. She released a wonderful holiday album in 1985 called Snow Angel, and I'm very pleased that she's got a brand new one called Winter Hearts. You already have an excellent holiday album. What inspired you to do another?
Oh, just that one was done quite a while ago, and the season and the times being kind of dark and people looking for hope everywhere, and the election I think stirred a great deal of hope in people, and I just wanted to continue to support that feeling as best as I could with songs that talk about, you know, the coming. It's a weaving really of as many of the different holiday and seasonal traditions as I could summon, everything from the Druids to the Mithraic society to the basic Christian enfolding of really ancient Druidic traditions, and where they changed the language, and like Holly and the Ivy, for example, and the interesting little stories that went with things. And I wrote a lot of original pieces that are pretty far ranging. So it was just really a pleasure to do.
You've got some talented help on this CD. Lots of names I know.
Yeah.
Julie Wolf, Barbara
Yep.
Bigby.
Yep.
Vicki Randall.
Yeah. Beautiful, huh? Yeah. They're my posse. I bring them in. And we're just about to play this weekend together, too, so it's going to be really nice.
Please tell me about the song Sounding Joy.
Sounding Joy, I thought it would be interesting to talk about the carols. Were actually originally dances. The word carol didn't mean a song so much as it meant a courtly dance in its day. So these songs in the 14th century were often 13th, 14th, thereabouts, in the dark, dark Middle Ages, were in those dark castles, people, you know, shivering to death, eating a bunch of food and then dancing, probably to stay warm as much as anything else, and have some joy in their lives. And so I took the title from Adeste Fidelis, Joy to the World, Repeat the Sounding Joy. And then I chose to weave, in the chorus, I wove the titles of a lot of my favorite Christmas carols.
There's a yule log on the fire, see the candles all aglow. Let's sing the songs of caroling beneath the mistletoe. Sing the part that holds the burden while others mark the time, and clasp our hands and dance the chain all in this winter time. Come deck the halls, joy to the world, away in a manger, sing the first note out. Hark the herald angels we have heard on high, repeat the sound of joy on this silent night. Like the wise men from afar, on a cold, cold winter's night, we bring our gifts from heart to heart by the shining star so bright. Oh, we are joyous all together, all upon this midnight clear. Oh, come and join the chorus, bid farewell to this old year. Come deck the halls, joy to the world, away in a manger, sing the first Noel. Hark the herald angels we have heard on high, repeat the sounding joy on this silent night. Silent and clear is the night, shines so bright. Repeat the sounding joy, sound the joy we know. Oh, hear the Christmas bells ringing out across the snow. Let's sing the songs of caroling from long, long ago. We'll go sledding in the morning down the hill so long and white. But for now, let's sing the carols all upon this Christmas night. Come deck the halls, joy to the world, away in a manger, sing the first Noel. Hark the herald angels we have heard on high, repeat the sound of joy on this silent night. And set the halls, joy to the world, away in a manger, sing the first Noel. Hark the herald angels we have heard on high, repeat the sounding joy on the silent night. Repeat the sounding joy on this silent night.
On both of your holiday albums, you pretty much avoided the cliches, and I have...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I have to cringe when I see a new Christmas album by an artist I like.
I know.
Gee, another version of Silent Night.
I know.
But you have Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which has been done a lot, but your version is just beautiful.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Thank you. It's a closer, isn't it? Yeah, it's, well, you know, I love that film when Judy Garland sings it to Margaret O'Brien. I just love that old film, and it's just something so sad and beautiful about it. So I just thought, oh, I'm just going to do that. And as I did Christmas song on the previous album, I think it's nice to have those standards, but just do them so simply that people almost hear them for the first time.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be far away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends, dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together. If the fates allow, a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Hi, this is Chris Williamson. I'm really happy to be part of Queer Music Heritage, and I'd like to wish each and every one of you the happiest of holidays.
Two songs from Winter Hearts, the new holiday album by Chris Williamson. And this interview continues on part two of this show, found on my website. Now time for a New Year's Eve song that I just recently acquired. It's out of Colorado on the debut album from 2007 by Ryan Mintz, called Monkeys and Ice Cream, and it's just called New Year's Eve.
45 minutes till midnight, I Google the bar and drive. 15606 Joy Road, but not a bar in sight. 14 minutes, I'll never find another place in time. So I park the car, play my music, and take this as a sign. 'Cause it's New Year's Eve and I believe that I got nowhere else to be. Just on the street, a date with me, and I can do most anything. And I got so much to offer, if the world would just receive. So here we go, happy New Year's Eve. Always so much pressure to be somewhere cool, something fabulous to tell them when we're back at work or school. But I don't wanna be with strangers or family this time. So this is my night out on the street by the bar I couldn't find.
'cause it's New Year's Eve and I believe that I got nowhere else to be. Just down the street, a date with me, and I can do most anything. And I got so much to offer that the world would just receive. So here we go, happy New Year's Eve. So I'm dancing in the intersection, feeling all the world's affection. I spin around and hit the ground and start off in a new direction. The fireworks, a drum's connection, the rainy street, a mirror's reflection. And as I play my top songs from all year long, this is what I call perfection. Till midnight, I look up at the moon, 'cause I know you're somewhere out there looking at it too. And the clouds are racing fast as they can run, as I'm texting you a kiss at 3, 2, 1. 'Cause it's New Year's Eve and I believe that I got nowhere else to be. Just on the street, a date with me, and I can do most anything. And I got so much to offer that the world would just receive. So here we go, happy New Year's Eve.
Now here's a song I'm very pleased to have discovered. It's from the 1995 CD by the Turtle Island String Quartet called By the Fireside, and they do a version of Happy Christmas, War is Over. Okay, I know what you're thinking. A string quartet doing Happy Christmas, War is Over? Well, besides having already won 2 Grammys, this group is terrific. Now, I don't know if any of the 4 guys in the quartet are gay, but on this particular track, their guest vocalists were Vicki Randall and Linda Tillery. Who are they? Vicki Randall is a wonderfully talented vocalist and musician, and for the last 16 years has been the first and only female member of the Tonight Show band. And she often is a guest on the albums of Chris Williamson, including the new holiday CD. Linda Tillery is also a longtime contributor to the field of women's music, with releases on Olivia, and she founded the Cultural Heritage Choir. Wait till you hear them on Happy Christmas, War is Over. I just love that. Again, that was Vicki Randall and Linda Tillery and the Turtle Island String Quartet. And escorting us to the last song is Candy Kramer, a transgender flautist from her new CD called A Candy Kramer Christmas. We're running out of time for part one of this show. 58 minutes goes pretty fast when you're trying to fit in lots of terrific music. If you haven't had enough, well, please visit my website at www.queermusicheritage.com and you'll find a total of over 4 hours of very queer Christmas music, where you'll hear some holiday goodies that are not quite ready for radio. And don't forget, all my past Christmas shows can also be downloaded as well, right into your MP3 player. I want to thank Chris Williamson for the special comments about her new album, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. And if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, you can write to me at qmheritage@aol.com, and I'll love to hear from you. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and come back next month for my 9th anniversary show. Okay, the closing song, and I've made it a QMH tradition. It's by one of our culture's most talented female impersonators, Jimmy James. On my December shows, I've played it more than any other song. From the album Have Yourself a Jimmy James Merry Christmas from 2002, you won't forget her version of Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Is there no end to this song? Somebody stop the song. I'm Betty Davis. Stop the song.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.